Good evening. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our weekly Bible study. It's good to have everyone. So having just finished a long book, the book of Job, I want to do something a little more compact this week. In our Bible studies so far, I've been doing these for, 3 years? Maybe 3 years. Anyway, I hope I've presented the gospel more than once. Well, hopefully every week at least explicitly or implicitly I've presented the gospel. But up until now, we haven't done a Bible study just on the straight-up gospel. And so, you know, just the gospel all by itself, specifically for sinners, for all you unbelievers out there. And I know that I haven't given the gospel starting where the Apostle Paul starts, which is, I'm remiss in that. You know, as you go through life, you think that there's a better way to do something, or there's a nicer way, or there's a more attractive way that'll be more seeker sensitive or whatever. But having now gone through Paul's presentation of the gospel again, I realized that he had it right, and I shouldn't try to improve on that. And so we're going to give the gospel starting right where the Apostle Paul starts. And so what we're going to do is just have a succinct presentation to all you sinners and unbelievers of your damnable plight and the way of salvation from certain death, which is where you're headed, certain death. Because someone cared enough to tell me the gospel, I care enough to tell you. Because I'm a lot like you. I know you've had those moments when you ask yourself the questions that every man asks. You know, how did I get here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? And no matter what you do for fun, or how you spend your time, and how you spend your money, and how much stuff you acquire, and how many trips you take, and how many places you go, there's always an end to that. And no matter how many people tell you how great you are, you wonder if that's true sometimes, because things aren't great all the time. You wonder, am I really that good? You wonder that sometimes. If you're honest, you wonder that a lot of the time. And you wonder what your existence is all about and what it's all worth once you're dead. You can't take it with you, so they say, which is true. So I know that after those moments when you ponder the sneaking suspicion of someone bigger than yourself looking down on you, I know that distractions and the demands of your very important busy life and your own pride cause you to quickly focus on other things. But every now and again, something happens in life, and it makes you ask again. And then life goes on for a little while, and you don't think about it. But something's always there in the background, whispering to you about God. Am I a good person? What's the purpose of my life? Why do I have to die? What's going to happen to me when I die? Am I good enough to go to heaven? Is there a heaven? Am I good enough to get there? You wonder about these things. So as I've said before, there is no logical alternative to an eternally existent creator God. That eternal God created mankind, and he gave us all the gift of life. And his existence and his life are eternal. So you, the life he gave you is eternal. You will never stop being. You'll never stop existing. You're either going to exist with him or apart from him forever. The reason God has and will exist eternally, by the way, is because he is always good. Things are always good with him, and there's never an end to that. And he can tolerate no bad at all. He hates it, in fact. Because he knows that anything bad eventually makes everything bad. And he can never let anything bad into his eternal dwelling place. And that place is heaven. And just as you had hoped, heaven does exist. And it's wonderful and glorious. Now, with all this in mind, there are a few things I need to tell you about yourself. And you might think, hey, yeah, you don't know me. You might think I don't have any right to judge you and that my opinion doesn't matter one bit. And since I've never died and went to heaven, what makes me think I have any right to tell you about it? And about all of that, you have a point. So if you think you know better than me, just turn this off and go on about your day. Go ahead and get distracted and busy and be important. But if you think it's possible that you're not the smartest person in the room and that maybe you don't have it all figured out and you're interested in hearing from sources who've thought about these things a lot more than you have, then listen. Listen up. I'd like to help you better understand what we both already know is true. So let's talk about you. But before we do, I will confess to you that I am not as good as you might think I am. There are things I think about that I would never tell you and that I hope you never find out. And knowing this for sure about me, I also know that it's true about you. That you're not nearly as good as you pretend to be. I know that when other people tell you that you're great, you intuitively know it's not true. And it even makes you a little uncomfortable. In fact, if other people knew what was regularly going through your head, they might never come around you again. Or they might want to call you a therapist, or they might even call the police. And that's because you're a reprobate sinner. Now, you do a serviceable job of convincing everyone around you that you're a decent person, maybe even a good person. But in fact, you're not fooling anyone. In fact, everyone around you is doing the same as you. And they don't want to admit it either. And they're just hoping they've got you convinced that they're a decent human being, or maybe even a good person. Even though deep down, they know that they're not. And so with all these efforts afoot of everyone trying to convince each other of how good we all are, everyone avoids talking about what should be the most pressing topic for everyone, especially as we grow up and start to grow old. I mean, the important things like what is the meaning of life and why are we all suffering and dying? Why are we all getting old and breaking down and getting sick and suffering and dying? Even while we tell each other how good we all are and how everything's going to be okay. The fact is, everything's not okay. The reason everyone is growing old, getting sick and suffering and dying is because we've all been sentenced to death. Now, how do I know that? Well, because so far, every single person either has or is going to die. Check it out. Look back in the history books. Look at a picture from 120 years ago. Everyone in that picture is dead. And no matter what a nice guy I think you are, at the end of the day, you're going to die. And the same goes for me. No matter how much you tell me I'm a great guy, I've got a death sentence hanging over me. And the sooner we face up to why that is, the better chance we have of getting ourselves out of this predicament. And I've already done that because I came to understand that I couldn't fool God who made me. God made mankind and he made everything and it's all his. And it's all accountable to him, including you. And he is the one who decided you must die. He decided that you must die. Death is separation. And when your soul separates from your body drops dead because of that separation. The one can no longer influence the other. And because you're wicked, God must separate himself and his dwelling place, his heaven, he has to separate that from you. Now, you might want to pretend you don't believe in God, or tell yourself you're not sure there's a God, or that you haven't seen enough evidence, or that you really want to believe in God, but that you're too logical and analytical and rational, or your experience growing up, or your education, or what your mom and dad told you, but that's all hogwash. You already know there's a God. You just resent his authority over you. And you've deluded yourself into thinking that maybe by not thinking about him or not acknowledging him or pretending he doesn't exist or pretending you don't know, that maybe he'll just go away and leave you alone. But you know he's there. You know. That which may be known of God is visible to you in you yourself. God has shown it to you. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You know that there's an eternal, all-powerful creator God, and so you're without excuse. Maybe you've heard the phrase, "We hold these truths to be self-evident." Have you heard that? If you went to public school, maybe you haven't. That is from the American Declaration of Independence. And so where do you think the authors got the idea of self-evident truth? Well, they got that idea from the God they all acknowledged to exist back when they wrote that. God is, in fact, the only self-evident truth. And all truth emanates from him. And without him, no truth is self-evident, despite what Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson wrote. For you to deny that you're aware of him is to deny your awareness of truth. And if you deny truth, that denial can't be true, and so it's all just laughable. You can't deny it. God won't let you get away with that. He won't let you get by with it, and so neither will I. Every one of us has a conscience that tells us the truth. And every one of us has been accused of breaking the law by our own conscience. And every one of us at some point has chosen to push the accusation of our conscience out of our mind so that we could have what we wanted anyway. And the day you did that, you push the Creator who sustains your very life out of your mind so you could indulge yourself. And even as you did not like to retain God in your knowledge, he gave you over to a reprobate mind. And so, you're a reprobate. But you're still alive. And for that, you should thank him. Because if he'd taken you up on your insistence that he just go away and leave you alone, if he'd actually taken you up on that in that moment, you would have dropped dead right then. But you didn't. Because he didn't go away and leave you alone, even when you kicked him out. So you're still alive by the grace of God. You're still alive because he has mercy on you. He's not willing to do what you wanted him to do and just leave you alone because he knows that you're too foolish to always fully comprehend the consequences of your own sin. He knows that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And so he's giving you another chance, another breath, another minute, another hour, another day. That this is the day. Because even though in your heart of hearts you know God is real, You insist on denying him anyway. And it's irrational, really. It's irrational. But God's not going to render immediate judgment against you because he understands that you're at a disadvantage. He understands that you inherited corruption in your body from your earthly father, who inherited it from his father, which is why God had mercy on them for as long as he did. Just like he's extending mercy to you right now. And he's going to stick with you a little while longer, but time and chance happen to everyone. And there's no guarantee that you won't die in a car wreck or you die in a car wreck next week or have an aneurysm or a heart attack tomorrow and drop dead. So you better get this issue separating you and him. You better get this taken care of sooner rather than later. And the issue is you're a sinner. You're not a good person. Maybe you do good sometimes, but you're not good. You're wicked. And you decided to push God out. So you don't deserve his life anymore based on your own action. You need to listen to your conscience. You know you did him wrong. And you know you deserve to be separated from him. You know you've been selfish and prideful in thinking that you can just ignore him or just deny it and somehow everything will be okay. But you need to stop denying this issue between you and God and you need to face it. You need to admit that you've been wrong and selfish and prideful. You need to admit that he's the one who sustains your life and ask him to forgive you for your sin. Ask him to forgive you for your sin against him and all your sins against other people. Because the same God who gave you the conscience that accused you is the living God. He is the creator and the judge of all things. And even though you've denied him, he's willing to forgive you. But the first step is for you to acknowledge that he is. Then acknowledge your position as a wicked, helpless, reprobate sinner, headed for certain death, which you deserve, and then ask him to forgive you. If you'll humble yourself and ask, he's faithful to forgive you, and he's made a way for you to live with him forever. And his forgiveness is not merely a judicial act, based on a determination of your having rendered the appropriate humility. God's forgiveness can be given to you because of a promise he made to his son. He promised his son that if he was willing to give his life as a ransom for yours, that he would forgive you based on his son's sacrifice. And the Son of God, in fact, gave his life for you. Even for you, even in that moment when you push the knowledge of him out of your mind in order to indulge your appetites and lusts, even while you were telling him to go away and leave you alone, inviting the very death that you face right now, he was offering to die in your place, and he did it. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came to earth. He taught and lived in perfect righteousness. But the powers that be hated him for it. And so they had him framed, arrested, beaten, and prosecuted. And even though he was found not guilty, they condemned him and executed him by nailing him to a tree and hanging him on it all day until he died. He hung on that cross of wood, suffering for 6 hours, from 9 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon, the whole time receiving in his body the punishment due you and me. And then he died. And then he went to hell. And by the way, he didn't sleep or cease to exist any more than you will. The same kind of human life that was in him is in you. He took upon himself the same body you have. He lived and died as the same kind of man you are. But he never pushed God out of his consciousness to indulge sin like you have. And that's why he could take his life up again. And he rose bodily from the dead and ascended to his Father in heaven. And Jesus was conscious after his physical death, just like you will be. The only reason human beings lose consciousness is because your body becomes tired and it needs sleep. Or you get injured to the point where your body just shuts down to spare you from suffering excruciating pain. Or you get injured or you get intoxicated with drugs or alcohol. But when you wake up and sober up, you're still the same you, because your eternal soul was created to be a conscious, self-aware being. A conscious, self-aware person in the very image and likeness of God Himself. And once you shed this mortal coil, you'll be conscious and aware for eternity, either dwelling with God or dwelling in the place God has in store for the devil and his angels. And that place is hell, also called the lake of fire, where everyone who pushes God away will go. And you will be awake and aware and endure suffering and torment forever, along with the devil and his angels. And it's not that God wants you there, but if you don't want to be with Him, there's no alternative. Refuse God's offer of forgiveness in His Son, Jesus Christ, and it's hellfire and damnation for you forever. Now you can say, Doug, you got me all wrong. You got me all wrong. I'm a good guy. Yeah. But God knows that's not true. You know it's not true. How do I know you know it's not true? Because He knew it wasn't true of me, and I know that it wasn't true of me. I knew God had me pegged. He knew I was just another rebel, full of pride and wickedness, and I was headed straight to hell with jet rockets. In fact, when we get to the other side, I hope I see you there, and I'll wager we'll find out that I've done more wrong and hurt more people than you did. But I faced my conscience's accusation, and I admitted that I deserved God's punishment, His judgment, His death sentence. And there's nothing prideful in that. In fact, it's quite shameful and humiliating. I was afraid and guilty and ashamed at that accusation. And I could have just dug in and denied it and ignored him when he accused me. And I did for a long time, just like you're doing right now. But on second thought, I considered what another man had told me about God's existence and His righteousness and my sin and God's forgiveness, and how Jesus Christ was a better man than me, and that He was the Son of God. And He told me that Jesus says I can trust Him with the fate of my eternal soul. And all I had to do was believe. Believe in what He did on that cross, and believe He'd be faithful to me, even though I wasn't faithful. And what that man told me, as uncomfortable as it made me, what that man told me rang true. And I believed. And I believe now. I accepted the offer. And I hope you will. And by the way, in that moment that I believed and God saved me from my sin and certain death, and eternal suffering and hellfire and damnation. In that moment, I believed. I didn't do anything else. I didn't give up any of my bad habits. I didn't clean up my act or go to church or read the Bible or make a donation or make a confession or do penance or anything. I just believed. Because that's all you've got to do is believe. Just accept the offer. He's faithful to take it from there. Accept the offer. Believe the gospel. It is good news. And then go where it leads. Because it leads to everlasting life in heaven. And I hope to see you there. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you for allowing us to have the opportunity to tell other people about it. And thank you for the man who told me about it. Lord, we just ask that this message would be blessed and that it would go out and that it would return. That it would return salvation of men unto you, Lord. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.